You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 111. This episode, Carol's Gay Best Friend.
Everybody to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and today I bring you my extreme carry-ons, or like follow-ons of estranged Green Lantern panelists. Joining today is Kuhan, the ever little, rascal of the group. How you doing?
Did you say we're estranged?
Estranged, little rascal of the group. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, thank you very much, cool. Sir.
Carlton, who I was sitting next to Guhan in some sort of fashion, probably trying to get something from him. I don't know, maybe.
Money.
Better be money.
Eric is here, but he's clearly taking a vow of silence for the time being. And Brandon, our speediest little rug rat. How are you doing?
I'm well.
And a surprise guest. We also have Ryan Reed here, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Reed. Ryan, say hi to all your adoring public.
Hello. Hello to that one fan over there in the corner that's, happy to hear from me again. Hey.
Sorry, Iron Green.
Wait,
hey,
I thought Iron Green? I thought he died.
Iron Green.
I thought you died. What happened? I was like, we held a funeral and everything. I guess the body was never recovered.
Yeah, he's doing that thing he always does on the show.
Beep, 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 beep.
Of course, no one who actually listens to the show will actually hear that, but to us it sounds hilarious. Brandon, I know you understand what time it is. What time is it, Brandon?
News time, news time, news time.
Here's the news, it gives me the blues.
News that we choose.
Wagatail.
green clues.
All right. They're coming to you.
Brandon, tell us what's going on. In the world today.
All right. In the world today?
Green Lantern related. Green Lantern related. I don't care anything about what's going on as if there were cars or some sort of state fire. I don't give a damn. What's happening with Green Lantern right now or DC?
This guy got shot outside the
I don't care.
Last episode I informed everybody that the Green Lantern and the animated series will be returning in March. Now I can tell you what day. And it's Saturday mornings. Green Lantern, the animated series, will return Saturday morning starting March 3rd with a replay of the first episode that we saw back in November at 10 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning. I will never see this show.
Of course, no little rugrats at the age of 16 will have a problem with this. Of course, us adults who work...
That's why we have DVRs.
Speak for yourself, man. I'll be up at 7 a.m. with my little guy.
That's why we have reruns.
That's true. There's always the classic reruns. Brandon, what else you got?
The show will also replay Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock.
See, exactly. Perfect. Perfect.
It's for those who, wake up and go to church. They can watch the show too.
Right, they go to church and then before they go to church, they watch the show and then go to church. Or I don't know, how does mass work?
Well, it depends on what time it's at.
Maybe they come back from church. I don't know how it works.
Are we praying to the giant blue elephant?
they're not able to make Sunday school. That's for sure.
Colton, I have no idea what you're talking about. Still, very funny. Brandon, what are you talking about?
We were moving on.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Last week, no, 2 weeks ago, actually, DC Comics unveiled, DC Entertainment unveiled a new logo that will span across multiple platforms, from the comics to...
And it's diarrhea.
Wait, Eric, before you get to that, Brandon, continue.
It will spread across its comics, both in print and the digital format.
He spread diarrhea across the...
He spread all that diarrhea.
Yeah, it's a big diarrhea wipe. It's a toilet wipe. Because like the advertisement they use is like a big black thing that's like bumpy and steaming. I'm like, are you out of your mind? And then the D is a little wipe. That's amazing. I was changing my son's diaper the other day. I was changing my brand new son, Jack Benjamin's diaper the other day, and I found the DC logo square in the middle.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I was like,
how do they market everything so well?
It's like DC where comics are meant to be.
That's what I was changing my son with the other day.
This is what you're missing for the past 2 years, Ryan.
I guess you could say DC's always going to be number two.
Very funny, Colton. Brandon.
Especially if you look at current stock numbers.
Hey.
The DC logo that will be showing across the comics, what Eric was referring to, the bumpy DC logo, is actually character formatted for each book, tailored to each book. So the Green Lantern logo, DC Comics logo, glows green. The Batman logo has a little bumps to reflect his something.
Something.
The Watchmen obviously has the blood splatter, and so on and so forth. These books, I don't believe they've started yet. I think they reflect 3 months from now or so. I don't actually know.
They clearly haven't started yet because we still haven't seen them on our
They start soonish.
Yeah.
I think they said the first movie. The first movie is going to have it. They said, I think, was Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, so I mean, how long has it been since the...
Is there another DC movie coming out in the next 10 years that nobody told us about? Oh, Superman.
Right, so. No, but to be honest, how long has it been since the original unveiling of the Asteroid DC sign, you know, little comic sign?
2004?
Right? So, yeah, it's been 7 years.
It was 04, 05.
It's been less than a decade since that sign actually even lasted.
But, I mean, that's not any sort of... It's not like it's iconic or anything. It's like, oh...
That sign itself is not iconic. Yeah, but the only real iconic one is the one Colin's about to mention, which is the bullet DC logo.
The bullet was around for so long, right? It was around
exactly
like the 80s,
it was around
the
70s. Long time.
All the way until 2003.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was around for a long time. That's the reason that it was iconic. Otherwise, it would be nothing. Like it's like it would be like the Asteroid. I think that. I like the idea of them getting a new logo, and I don't hate this logo nearly as much as Eric does, I think the Asteroid logo was comic booky, and it's fine for a comic book company, but for DC Entertainment as a whole, I thought like the Asteroid logo in front of a movie, it's like this is a comic book movie, it's not a DC Entertainment movie, it's a DC Comics movie.
Well, you say that. Look at Marvel, and it's just a block of letters.
Yeah, no,
you know?
And that's professional. Before that, it was something else, right? It was like scribbles in like Comic Sans. I don't. That's not true.
I don't remember.
Actually, it was. The original Marvel logo before this block, the blocky Marvel logo, was actually in a weird Comic Sans.
Exactly. That doesn't look like a movie font. And then they changed it. They changed it around the time they started making the Marvel movies, and they changed it a little bit before Spider-Man. And so,
correct.
And that's when it became the block, and that looks more professional. And yeah, I mean, yeah, and you could say things about professional as just a block of letters, but it's more than a block of letters
but
in Comic
Sans. Is the Marvel the new block of letters, is it defining? Is somebody gonna say, can you distinguish a Batman movie from a Spider-Man movie based on that logo? No, people still out there confused.
Actually,
if they read, they can.
DC definitely ripped off the Marvel logo. They just did the Marvel logo, but less. And I think that was definitely a big complaint when I saw Batman 2. I was like, is that the Marvel logo at the beginning? Like, oh, just a black and white Marvel logo? And I can read. I could totally read real English words. But I, even myself, I wasn't legitimately confused because I know the difference. But I can't imagine my mom was like, oh, yeah, I saw this. Like, I had that in front of Spider-Man. I guarantee $1 million she would have said that. Because what the fuck does my mom give a shit if it's DC or Marvel, you know?
Right. I mean, and I like they changed it. And I think that's a good idea. I don't see why they didn't do this when they launched – the new universe.
Oh, like everything they should have done when they launched the universe. Like, how now
if they're gonna do a new logo and like right after they launch a whole new universe, like do it at the same time. This, you're 6 months in. You could have done this 6 months ago.
It's like the fact that, you know, now it's like issue 6 and we're getting origin stories and shit. And they're like, look, it's good. It's gone. It's over. You missed your window. Just stop. Like, nobody's going to buy issue 6.
I think this would have been, if they had done everything they're doing now, if they had done this 6 months ago, then the new universe wouldn't have been as big as, and again, not everybody hated it, but I don't think the hate that's there now, I don't think wouldn't have been as much as it is. And it's not hate as much as like ambivalence, mostly.
Ambivalence is what it is, exactly.
And I think there would be like general actual people like liking what was happening, right, if they actually, you know, decided to actually go through with everything and change it like they wanted to.
All right, Brandon, what were we going to say?
Cameron Stewart, artist, said, "Did you freak out when Fritos changed their logo? Are you still eating Fritos?"
I'm still eating
Fritos. Am I still going to buy DC Comics? Yes. I don't give a shit about this logo.
But I did freak out when Sprite changed their logo. I was like, what is happening?
I definitely thought – I assumed they changed their recipe. I'm like because at Pepsi, there's like 7 different Pepsi bottles, and each Pepsi bottle means something else. If you're just going to straight up change Pepsi on me, I'm like, this must have new farts in it. Like, I'm not going to drink this nonsense. No, but DC, you're right. They should have changed the brand when they were – in all fairness, once they added a little – once you could see the steaming turd behind the wipe, it didn't look as bad. It's just like – but I mean I think cosmetically it is important, because my big problem with the DC universe is it's as Kumo was saying, it's like there wasn't too much of a difference between the old one and the new one. I mean, even the way they're marketing themselves, the fact that it says New 52 on the top, that's so meaningless. It's so meaningless to everybody, you know? Like,
yeah, that has to be getting rid of.
And then how new is this? It's like, it's not still new anymore. It's six months old.
Well, and you got 4 issues that are ending here in a couple months. You already got 6 more, plus another 4 after that in a couple months. So it's not going to only be the new 52. It's going to be the new 69, you know?
Well, that's actually – the DC executives did a thing where they even said, like, we're going to dump another – they said, when are you just going to start relaunching titles? They said, no, the next time we dump titles, we're going to dump them and replace them immediately, because they said we want to keep it at 52. So it's actually – the point in fact is it's still 52 titles, but it's not the new 52. It's kind of like the 52 from 6 months ago and the new 6, you know? Like, that's really what it is. And they're not going to say the new 6 on the cover. It's unnecessary cover blockage. Just say Action Comics and put a picture on it.
Well, it's like when everything had Blackest Day or Brightest Night, Blackest Night or Brightest Day at the beginning of everything for no reason at all, had nothing to do with the actual thing. Or, you know, whenever Green Lantern comic had Green Lantern movie coming up, but that was different, that's advertising. But like, when nothing had anything to do with Brightest Day, but it said Brightest Day at the top because it's a Green Lantern comic.
Yeah,
I agree.
Speaking of the Kryptonite poisoning thing, the first thing I thought of when I saw that cover was the Kryptonite Nevermore cover, the one with Superman's breaking his chains.
I get sort of. My thing is like exactly. So you look at a regular comic, and it's like a copy of Wonder Woman, right? And it's like the cover says New 52, Wonder Woman, Azzarello Chang, so. And then it's like, you know, Poseidon, total douche, you know. And it's like, why are we wasting letters on the cover? Like, when we could just show the image, you know, like. It's not like the person's like, I wonder if that's Poseidon, and I wonder if he's a total douche. Oh, he is, but by this terrible thing on the cover. You know, like, it's like, what are they getting out of this? You know, it's like Superboy manhandled because somebody has big man hands or something on the cover. Like, the puns are so atrocious. You know?
I agree.
You need to be classy.
Let's all this aside. Brandon, is there any more news?
Unfortunately, there is.
unfortunately.
Okay, everybody, quiet down.
On a non-joking matter, Ian Abercrombie, voice of Ganthet, he's an actor, has passed away. He voiced Ganthet in the Green Lantern animated series. I believe he was 77 at the time of death. You may know him from his voice as Ganthet, but you probably know him as Alfred Pennyworth in Birds of Prey television show. He's also done Babylon 5, Star Trek Voyager. He was in a Flash episode. Wow. yeah, he's been a while. He's been around.
Was that movie? The Princess Bride, right?
It was in The Princess Bride. He was a very long-time British actor, too. He did a lot of Shakespearean theaters, actually, with Ian McKellen and all that, too.
He was a pretty big guy. Like,
I'm so glad you guys have brought that up, and it wasn't only the first reference Brandon made which was Alfred in the Birds of Prey series.
Yeah, right? Come
which
on.
Nobody watched.
My thing is, it's like what's hilarious about it is when I saw, and much respect to the family, whoever, if Ian Abercrombie's family happens to be listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, good for you. But like, you know, it's like when I saw all the headlines were like Seinfeld actor Ian Abercrombie, I was like, was he in like an episode of Seinfeld? Like,
he was
Seinfeld
apparently
actor?
Elaine's boss in Seinfeld during the sixth season.
Yeah, for like a season, right?
Well, it is pretty like. He also played Palpatine in the Clone Wars series and movie, but like.
He was in Rango. He was in Wizards of Waverly Place. He was Dumbledore in Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes, he was. I actually did watch an episode with him like a week ago. I mean, what? Well, no, I don't watch that show.
He was Merlin in Army of Darkness 3. Like, he's been all over the place.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well,
Army of Darkness 3?
I think he was in one of the Puppet Masters.
He was also in
Puppet Master 3, Army of Darkness.
There we go. We have our sequels blending together again.
Well, he has had an extended career, and it's
also, just so you guys know, I think the last word, Airwolf. He was in Airwolf.
Okay, you got the last word, Airwolf. But again, it's sad to hear of anyone's passing.
Yeah.
And to be completely honest, we here at the Green Lantern Corecast are saddened by this fact, especially for the fact that he was going to play one of the pivotal roles in Green Lantern the anime series. And but to his family and everybody, we sincerely wish you guys the best and our deepest apologies. Aside from that, let's get into the Green Lantern reviews.
Comic
book time.
And today we're gonna be covering Red Lanterns number 6 and Green Lantern number 6. Clearly the best, the bunch of Green Lantern source material.
Christmas lanterns.
No.
Red and green make purple.
Wait, what?
Right.
That you make crap brown. That's
right, so to bring up Red Lanterns number 6, pretty much we get introduced to the brand new Earth Lantern. I guess you could say brand new. I mean, to be honest, the cat was from Earth, so we have two Red Lanterns from Earth apparently now.
It's a sector partner.
Your sector partner is the cat. Isn't that amazing?
Buddy cop kitty. Movie.
Anyway, the funniest thing about the entire thing will still have to be that this guy who I don't know where gets Red Ring manages to at least somewhat control himself, blah 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 blah, blah, which proves the point. Earth Lanterns are the best lanterns, better than anybody else. Aside from that, does a bunch of stuff. Atrocitus says things about how he's the big dog, but doesn't know how to express himself because apparently, literally, Peter doesn't have no idea what the hell he's riding with Atrocitus anymore. Aside from that, partner shows up. So we get a cameo appearance. That's about the issue. Ryan, tell me what you think of this.
Tell me why he
ain't nothing but a heart. It ain't nothing but a heartache.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This guy saw his brother beaten in front of him to death by the police, which they just did and watched him thing. His grandfather was killed and the police knew about it and everything else. So once he gets a Red Lantern ring, his first instinct is to rip up his, you know, father, you know, grandfather's tombstone, go find the guy where he confronts him and says, "Oh yeah, you're the guy. I'm sorry. My father beat me and drank and everything. I'm sorry I killed, you know, I'm responsible for all the misery and stuff, but it's just the way I am. So go ahead." No, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Block. Oh, hi, Guy Gardner. Meanwhile, over on Ezalt, hey, you're not running the Red Lanterns right. It's my job. No, it's my job. No, it's my job. No, it's my job. No, it's my job. Hey, look, it's Bleed's ass again in 9 panels. Okay, cool. Thanks. And end of issue. Peter Milligan tries. I mean, I can understand Rancor's, you know, Jack Moreau's, whatever you want to call it, his real name here, as a Red Lantern. Sorry, say that again?
No, I said Rigamarole. I wasn't.
Rigamarole. Okay, I'm sorry. But, I mean, at least he's a Red Lantern, has an interesting origin and everything else, too. But, you know, when he finally confronts the guy and everything, you know, who's basically steered him on this path of him being so rageful, it's too cliche. Because, I mean, even when he's explaining it to himself, he's saying, like, well, you know, sorry, you know, my father drank and beat me, and that's why I became bad. Just how I made, oh, no, don't kill me, you know. I gave you a pretty bullshit reason why I'm the way I am, and I killed your grandfather for really no apparent reason for the fact he was there. But please don't kill me, and don't, and you know, forget going to the police who actually beat your brother in front of you and got away with it, because you know I wouldn't be going after them and trying to murder them. But you know, he had cool hair.
Okay, to be honest, how can we honestly say that this guy actually has a interesting origin? Like, to be completely honest, I still don't even understand how these rings judge what rage is better than someone else's rage. I mean, we had, by issue two, they were balancing that question out. But seriously, Atrocitus gets his entire race destroyed for legitimate reason because they were all ugly. But this guy, he has his brother, you know, beaten in front of him. Which rage outweighs which one? I mean, literally, how can this guy get a ring above everybody else in the universe to, you know, be a member of this select group of, you know, murderers, rampaging monsters?
Yeah, it seems pretty randomized. I mean, I'm sure they're going to tap more into that as the series progresses, and I think there's a sense where the story was kind of saying that he was always kind of angry but held it inside, and then it was being released in this one kind of unfortunate moment and stuff. But, I mean, that kind of comes essentially to the question is why do certain – like, how is a character like Hal Jordan considered more fearless and willful than a character like Batman, who literally, like, you know, jumps into gunfire where Hal Jordan just sits on his ass and picks his nose, like, most of the time, you know? Like, so it's kind of like, how do these rings choose anybody in the first place? So, I mean, I agree that it's a little kind of far-fetched and stuff, but it's one of those things where, I don't know, if you kind of – not to criticize your idea because it's a wonderful point, but it's like if you're going to pick on that, you're almost picking on the whole Green Lantern concept, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I do. No, you have a valid argument on that, and in truth, that's I'll go for it. I mean, I'll go blow for blow trying to understand why this even means anything. Because again, once you open up the doors of so many different colors, and you know, and like so many different possibilities of who can get what and what in at which point of which facet, it makes you ask the question: who's worthier than someone else is? Like, what makes them, you know, more hopeful or more, you know, loving or whatever the fuck. It just doesn't make sense, especially for the point of the story of this guy becoming the Red Lantern. I mean, we all saw it a mile away, but we never really saw the reasoning as to why.
Right.
I mean,
all of a man's built up rage in life just kind of exploded out at one instant. I guess the instant the ring looked, his rage is at its peak above everyone else.
It's no worse than the random entity is going to just random people who is, you know, mostly rapists or people who are about to be raped. Like it's no worse than that just randomly happening as it happened, you know. Like, I think it just works out that, oh yeah, this guy was angry and we wrote him to be angry. Sure.
Yeah, but isn't that, like, you know, one of those weird, slightly, you know, lazy ways in? I mean, that's just a lazy way in.
So yeah, the issue, it's kind of like I forget who the artist was, but the non Ed Bendis, like copying Ed Bendis, was just as like, it's one of those things where Ed Bendis' art is so abysmal and like an abomination to the eyesight of humanity that like somebody else copying it is almost like hysterical, like someone just joking, you know. There wasn't quite as much of Bleez's vagina and breasts dominating her storyline, but he managed to get a few shots in there of her breaking her spine, trying to get those nipples and the visible camel toe forefront, and what I've come to learn is the full delineation of her character. But, you know, I think the problem with the storylines is that they're a little too disjointed, you know. I mean, I didn't mind this kind of finally happening. I was a little confused because Ed Bendis is such a failure as a human being / artist, that the way the issue ended last time was that, you know, the cops beat him to death and then it was like a wide shot of the dead guy in the street and the brother like cradling him. And like, I'm like, is this an artful wide shot because you drew the sidewalk and the cops are just gone? Like, they're like, they just killed the guy and they threw a smoke pellet down and like ninja vanished, you know? And then like this
issue starts. Pretty much.
And they're standing there. They're like, okay, I guess that was bad, you know? Like, and then this guy goes nuts and his head gets catch on fire. And I don't understand why he has a name, why he names himself after, well, a cool Star Wars bad guy, but I don't know why he has a name when other ones don't, you know? I guess because of the cartoon. Wasn't one of the cartoons named Scarface or something? Whatever the ridiculous name of the one in the cartoon is. But
Razor.
Yeah. Razor, right. Even worse than Scarface. But yeah, you know, and I think as the issue goes on, it's interesting because I think this is kind of finally getting to a point where Peter Milligan is using the Red Lanterns thematically, except that you're kind of hitting all these cliches. He's like, he's a nerd. It's like, okay, I guess. You know, it's like, and that's why he's angry. Okay, I guess. And the shock ending that Guy Gardner shows, I mean, the guy had to show up in the Red Lantern title eventually. We were all kind of hoping he was going to headline the title. And he didn't. So I think it's like, it's funny. I was talking about this on another podcast where it's like Guy Gardner, it's like Green Lantern is all over the place, you know, in the DC universe, and none of them are Hal Jordan. I mean, the only Green Lantern title that Hal Jordan is featuring in is Justice League, and that includes his own title, you know? So like, why do they make such a big stink to bring him back? But whatever. either way, I don't know. It's like it's not that compelling to me, and especially because of how disjointed the two storylines are. I mean, I happen to think that Atrocitus deciding he needs to give the Red Lanterns intelligence and then realizing that there's kind of an alpha male pecking order that would develop is a good storyline, except that it keeps happening off panel. Like every time something happens, it's like already been resolved, or, you know, or Bleas has already been transformed, or, you know, Bleas is just being a dick and stuff. And I think the kind of showdown between Bleas and Atrocitus could have been more exciting, except they kind of make it clear, no, Atrocitus would destroy her. So any kind of uprising will have to be kind of like a Marxist uprising, as opposed to kind of like, you know, anything character based or whatever. And plus, I mean, there's not enough clarity in terms of, like, eventually these characters are going to meet, but why? And, you know, is there going to be a really huge twist? And as Frankie pointed out, Justice League Dark is all about ambiguity to the point where it's downright confusing how storylines end. And this is just a little too straightforward for me. I don't know. Plus, I mean, what the fuck? How are you? Ed Bennis, like, does anybody like that?
No. Nope. Nobody should.
No, right? Nobody
if
does.
If you
right?
do, you're a bad person. That's just
bad fact. Person?
Yes.
Like, there's actually a crime in, like, three states. Like, you know, that's the worst part of it being in a republic, that every state can't say it's illegal to like Ed Bennis. You know, we all have to do different constitutions per state. That's the worst part.
As I agree with you all, I got to hear Brandon's opinion on this issue.
Yeah, Brandon reread the issue and doesn't hate it nearly as much.
Brandon, give me a positive, because I know when I go to Kuhan, he probably did not read
it. I didn't read it. Come on.
here's the positive part.
That issue.
The good thing is that Peter Milligan bothered to get introspective with the Red Lantern and the process of becoming a Red Lantern. Unlike Jeff Johns, who completely skipped that when we got Lara turning into a Red Lantern. It was nice to get to thinking about the heartbeat, about how the blood tastes, about how to fly. You know, all these things are, you know, mysteries unsolved. Good. Obviously, the flashback with him being picked on as a kid, that was a little heavy-handed BS, but, you know, it wasn't so bad that it completely turned me off of the character. I think what I didn't like about him becoming, and I think you were on to something, Frank, when you said that this isn't really justified, is the fact that he was ready for his brother to go to jail. You know, he's like, you can go, like, you made your bed, now lay in it. But I guess, you know, there's one thing to see your brother go off into a possible death sentence, and another to see him beaten in the street.
Which is ridiculous again, because he wasn't going to get a death sentence, because all his brother did was what? Burn the dude's house down? Didn't kill anybody. Just burned the dude's house down. Yeah. That would have just landed.
He'd have gotten some jail time.
Yeah, he would have definitely gotten jail time, and he would have been fined up the wazoo. But yeah, death sentence for, you know, a
house
burned
down? We don't know how laws work in the DC universe.
In England, I mean, for God's sake, that's a whole other country. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He was kind of a rustabout and a ragamuffin. I think that's a big ass deal in London. I'm not sure. I think that's like a real fucking.
Dude, anyway, you those to your barista, you die.
Did you do an Italian accent for British people?
Someone's a little more confused.
You'd be surprised how many Italian people.
All right, guys. A little bit too much. Brandon. Stop.
Yeah, and I think Eric just said that the Bleas versus Atrocitus thing wasn't exciting. I don't think it was supposed to be this big, huge deal. I think.
I can't let that slide. You're telling me it was not supposed to be a big, huge deal, but for the past
be a fight, but like I don't care.
For the past five issues, it's pretty much been Atrocitus going like, Bleas is gonna betray me at one point, Bleas is gonna betray me at one point, Bleas is gonna betray me at one point.
Exactly. I think the fact that it was so one sided, you know, that she didn't want to fight, she was just reacting to being punched and choked. You know, I think the fact that he's still paranoid, it came to the point where you got hundreds of Red Lanterns, or probably like 30 more realistically, surrounding him saying, look, take your hands off her. Like, and I think if the next issue doesn't start with Atrocitus thinking, damn, maybe I need to sit back and start rationalizing things a little more clearly, then you'll see what Peter Milligan has been shredding through this series is this state of mind that of what rage puts you through and what happens when you no longer have it. I know, because if you compare it to like road rage and you're driving on the freeway and all of a sudden somebody cuts you off, you're pissed, and then all of a sudden when that guy's, you know, four cars ahead of you, it's like, oh, fuck it, let me just turn the music back on. You know, life goes on, and I think for Atrocitus, life goes on, except the fact that he might die, you know? Like, this shit is a part of his physiology now. You know, he might die if he lose that burn. And I think that's compelling. The fact that Bleeze doesn't want to fight you, she just, you know, wants you to act normal. She's still your servant. She just wants you to act normal. I think the only flaw in this book, beyond it being a little subpar, is the fact that they completely dropped the mystery angle and where's Krona and who's the little midget in the trees. I think if you had kept that focus in there, I know Eric says it's disjointed already, but that's the backbone of this series now, is where's Krona. And that's what's lacking in this issue. And the fact that Guy Gardner shows up at the end just, you know, makes me think that, well, I'm not going to get to this to issue 10 or 12.
Valid point.
It was awesome. Not awesome.
It was, I can't agree. I mean, again, you're entitled to your opinion, but I still can't really say it's an awesome book. Colton.
Yes.
Let me know what you think.
Well, there's a lot of agreement there that the character's motivation may be a little bit lacking on the rage. I mean, I can partially see it. I mean, let's just assume for a second that the Earth is the only thing in Sector 2814, and they just haven't told Hal this, that this one planet is it. And at that particular instance, everyone else was all in a good mood when suddenly just shit went down for this one guy the instant the ring looked. But even then, I don't think you know if he's the most compelling character for this kind of thing. That said, you know, wasn't terrible character. I mean, I could think of a lot worse they could have done, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, they could do so much more with this book, and that's my main disappointment with the book, is that they're not doing enough with it. They're not taking this in the right direction. I mean, sure, we'll just have to wait and see, but,
Yeah, I think that we've been talking about that for 6 months now, is that we all had different kind of levels of expectations and different, I mean, there's a certain amount of expectation you get when you hear Peter Milligan's name. And I think you try to balance that out with the fact that these are one note characters, and you know, only one of them has really been established, and even then he doesn't have much of a personality. So you try to find that balance, and we've been trying to see where Peter Milligan was going to find that balance over the last 6 months. And I feel like we're six issues in and he doesn't know. I've said this for 6 months now, well, at least for the last two months now, that these series are doing a very poor job of wrapping up. I think Green Lantern is like one of the few DC comics that are actually going to have a decent trade and have a conclusion at the end of six issues, you know. And I'm looking at the future here, and Red Lantern's Volume 1 is not going to have an ending until issue 9, 10, at the least.
See, that's very interesting. In many facets, and I'll bring Green Lantern into this, Green Lantern had an objective, had a goal in its first run, and you know, the first run of the new series. You know, it was Sinestro. Sinestro having to go back to Khorgar and defeating his own core. And you know, that was the goal. That was the goal of the story. In Peter Milligan's run, the Red Lanterns, he didn't really have a goal set out for him. He had a standpoint as to what Atrocitus should, where his head should be at, but there was no specific goal. He alluded to the fact of having to fight Bleeze for control of the Lanterns, but nothing ever really comes out of it. It's one of the stories where he goes. In many ways, it feels like Emerald Warriors. It feels a lot like Emerald Warriors when Emerald Warriors was going into its end, knowing that it was going to be cut off into the New 52, where it's just random stories about one character and just things are happening. This is what Red Lanterns has been about. Basically, things are happening, and there's a slight thread that linking everything together, and that's honestly not much to go by, to be completely honest. There needed to be a specific goal in mind that Atrocitus needs to face in order for him to, one, understand where his head is going to be and how us as a reader is going to know where his head is going to be into the future story, which is going to be the first arc into the next arc. This doesn't feel like arcs. It just feels like random chapters, which is just all part of one giant arc that Peter Milligan doesn't know where he's going with or how he's going to finish. But Kuwan, let me know what you think of the issue itself.
I didn't read it, remember?
Oh, yeah, you didn't read it.
I looked through the pages to see the art, and I thought it was bad, so I'll say that much. But, you know, that's Ed Benes. What do you expect?
Well, there you have it. Does anyone have any lasting remarks for Redliner?
We need more Dexstar.
We need more blue fur. More blue fur.
This isn't one of the titles on the bubble, is it? Not that long.
No, it's not. It's actually part of the Third Army crossover in the coming year.
Come on, anything Geoff Johns related is not going to die.
You can't be that optimistic, Eric.
Right. Sorry.
We're going to move on.
They could replace it with another series.
You know, like Blue Lanterns.
No, why would you stop talking?
Knock.
Just the third.
yes. No, that's it.
And it goes.
Just a title called NOK. Knock. And just never know.
It should be written in really nice stylized like 90s graphics. Like knock.
Right? I like how it's really nice stylized 90s graphics.
Nuke. How did I say knock? Nothing lasts forever.
Everything has an asterisk. That'd be the best.
And I mean, it's either that or they're going to get some terrible writer to do a Star Sapphire book, and that's going to end horribly.
Anyway, let's move on to Green Lantern number 6, where we have basically nothing going on with Hal Jordan and everything to do with the main star of the book, Sinestro. Slightly. I mean, it's pretty much the entire story is basically about Sinestro going to a different planet, finding Lisa Dark.
I think it's Lissa. Lissa Drack.
It's Lissa Drack. I play the video game. It's Lissa Drack.
Okay, there
Lissa
you go.
Lissa Drack. I'm sorry. Her character has only been around only to do two things. Look, I can't even hold a book. So she's a sexy librarian of the Sinestro Corps. I'm sorry. She has not really done much of anything in the past of anything except for possibly the end of Blackest Night where she showed up and was like, I'm trapping you all in the book, and it disappears. For the majority of this issue, pretty much Sinestro tracking down Lissa Drack and having to enlist the help of another arch rival of his from a distant planet that no one's heard of or cares for. And his name is Evil Star. No, I'm sorry. It should have been Evil Star, but it was actually Star Storm. I don't know. I talk about Evil Star a lot. I want Evil Star to show up ever since they mentioned him at one time and never did anything with him. Anyway. So, yeah, Star Storm or whatever. It's supposed to be the awesome hero of some planet who apparently Sinestro beat the crap out of and made him beg for his life, instilling so much fear into the guy that he's become a coward. And lo and behold, he still is a coward. Pretty much by the end of the story, Sinestro hates this guy's guts so much that he wishes him to actually be Hal Jordan, but he's no Hal Jordan. Why? Because Sinestro has a deeply rooted, you know, infatuation with Hal Jordan.
But tell me who's Hal Jordan.
So of course he goes back. So of course he goes back, finds Hal Jordan in his underoos and makes him dress up for the occasion just to make himself look pretty for him, and says he's not done being a Green Lantern. So pretty much there, in a nutshell, is I guess the beginning of a new storyline with the two buddies, Sinestro and Hal, buddy cops yet again, on the horizon.
Yay.
So,
I'm so excited. And
so
I just cannot
hide. Knock.
So I'll go to you again, Ryan. What do you think of the issue? And I'll recap because I already gave.
No, I think it's a recap. And I will tell you too, Frankie. I wanted it to be Evil Star too. I really did.
I miss that dude with his giant star face.
Frankie is so obsessed with Evil Star. I can't even tell you.
I know. No,
it's like it's like Sinestro with Hal. I want Evil Star so bad.
Well, you know, that's the thing, too, with this issue, because, you know, here it was, this other arch rival that, you know, Sinestro kicked his ass and sent him the curb when he was the hero of his world, basically turned him into D-Man of his world. And
I used to be important. You love, right? Oh, D-Man.
You know, it's because, you know, without Starstorm, who can, you know, shut down any light constructs and see the spectrums and everything so he could find Lissa and everything, who has, you know, magically been able to, you know, instead of getting an ebook reader of the Book of Black, has somehow shrunk it down to book club version and chained it to herself and everything. And he can't, you know, rise to defeat her because, you know, she's just using her yellow ring chains on him. And, you know, here it just gets to the point where Sinestra's like, fine, I'll use your helmet and blow it up. Oh, okay, she's out. Okay, I got the Book of Black. Oh my God, they're visions. They're visions. The third army. I gotta get Hal Jordan.
just so you guys know, the third army. That's happening. It's coming soon.
Remember, guys, the Third Reich. Third Reich's coming. I mean army.
And gotta trust Hal.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too. Now, the one thing I really did like about the issue is I kind of liked, actually, Hal, you know, saving that one guy from the group of former employees that were stealing from him and basically finding an outlet and him actually having a nice moment with Carol. I actually kind of like that. I do like the human aspect of Hal kind of saying, you know what, hey, it's not too bad just to be old, you know, Harold Jordan, you know, of Coast City and everything. That was a nice aspect, but it was too short. And, you know, I love Sinestro and everything, but he seems to be constantly putting up with guys he doesn't like just to meet his ends, and he basically leaves them crying, wishing for more, while he flies off to go, you know, be with his, you know, best non-gay pal, Hal Jordan, to help him stop and everything.
Does anybody else like imagine that there's like Sinestro has like a Hal Jordan shrine, like a la Helga Pataki from Hey Arnold?
Yeah, I have actually been visualizing. He has a little one. He's making constructs of it in a science cell somewhere on that, you know, that nobody's like, why is Sinestro always going to the science cell? I heard he has a horrible, horrible person in there. Hal, we'll see you on Tuesday.
It wouldn't be any worse than what Guy Gardner was doing at his home, you know, making constructs.
Making giant constructs of his friends and walking into their mouths.
Yeah, exactly.
I miss you, Kyle.
You're my buddy.
And the last thing I actually will say that was interesting, too, is I actually liked the little show there of, once again, of Hal and Sinestro dead and, you know, Black Hand actually standing over him, and yet Sinestro's a member of the Indigo Tribe. So I thought that was an interesting little, there's a little snippet for the upcoming storyline. But, you know, that was it.
I tell you, the only thing that could get me less interested than Sinestro wearing yet another costume is Sinestro wearing a purple costume, and I think they did it. You know, like, I can't even imagine, like, the balls for them to do that page. Like, you know.
It looked like a tall Oompa Loompa, actually.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm furious about this whole thing. I mean, it's, like, so condescending. And it's such a, like, we've complained about Geoff Johns doing these story shortcuts before to the point of nonsensical. I mean, Sinestro being Green Lantern and everyone else just kind of staying in the core is a nonsensical story shortcut. You know, like, creating brand new characters to forgive Sinestro for being a genocidal maniac on Korugar is a nonsensical story shortcut. And now he's doing the ultimate Geoff Johns story shortcut, a big splash page that tells you the events for the next 6 years of the book. Like, why do I want to see that? None of that's exciting because it's not like him being a purple lantern is going to go anywhere. It's not like Hal's going to get killed by Black Hand and stay dead. I mean, these are not going to be the culminations of storylines. These aren't going to be the climaxes to be resolved. These are the climaxes. You're looking at the last page of every crossover for the next 2 years. You know, I mean, like, that's not exciting for me. That's the opposite of exciting for me. That's like reading a Wikipedia entry, which is what Green Lantern's been for the past couple of years. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
It can be edited by anyone.
It's true. You know, Brandon, I know you love the, you know, little dynamics between Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris, especially your love for Carol Ferris. Tell me how much you like Carol Ferris in this issue.
I fucking hate this shit. This is the second issue in a row where Carol Ferris just pisses me off. And you know what? I think in this issue, it wasn't so much what Carol was doing. It was that she was tolerating it. At the beginning, Hal makes a reference to the fact that they haven't been doing anything but going on dates and fucking all the time. And then by the end of the issue, the next morning, she's like, I have to go to work. He's like, what the fuck is work? So apparently, you didn't even give him the job.
Yeah.
God knows if you co-signed his fucking loan. He's clearly sleeping at your fucking place. You're enabling this asshole, and you're just going to...
Yeah.
It's weird to me. It's weird to me that Carol Ferris has been this character for 4 years and you're just catching on to this now. That's strange to me. Not that this is happening.
It really sounds like Ben did a Carol Ferris' gay friend, or that friend who's like always stuck in the friend zone and like is in love with Carol, but like this guy's an asshole, you gotta dump him and wants to get with her. I'm not sure which one Brandon is right now.
It sounds like Brandon is ignoring the story point where Hal Jordan asked for money and she was angry that he didn't propose to her. Like,
that was the best. I'm sorry. That was the best thing ever.
Episode of Grey's Anatomy where, you know, the guy didn't propose to her and she beat his face in and he had a concussion and bled out and died and said, oh, wait, he was going to propose. It's here in my locket. Oh, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, I just that's Carol Ferris in a nutshell. Carol Ferris, who took a ship into space, and then a bunch of crystal princesses said, "If you ride this dinosaur and give up your free will, Hal Jordan will probably not see injury, but we're not sure." She's like, "Anything for Hal." Where is Hal?
Where is Hal?
She had a personality, and whose whole starting identity was that she liked Green Lantern. But couldn't date Hal because she was like, I'm a serious person and I don't fucking fuck guys I work – well, I'll fuck guys I work with, but I don't marry guys I work with. That was her straight-up business. That was the angle. The angle was Hal Jordan's like, I want to get married to this lady, and she's like, I'll put out, but you got to shut up after that. That was the whole thing. And it's going to be completely reversed by the Geoff Johns thing because Geoff Johns is like a total chauvinist. Like, no, I'm not cutting off Hal's balls like that. This chick is gobbling it up. She wants it so far. Can't even stand it. Like, need to neuter her. You know, like, she needs to
Remember, don't
catch sex,
your ass can't
change. Can I also just about the art? Is it just me or does Hal Jordan look like he's seven and Ryan Choi or is it Ryan? Is that Ryan Choi? Is that right?
Mike Choi.
Right, Ryan Choi was
no.
The
we're
Adam.
Not talking about the. We're not talking about the Ray. We're not talking about the Ray.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to Ray. Yeah.
Whoever the artist, it like
he, the he, Adam.
The Adam.
Actually,
the Adam. Come on, yes. Come on. You're so racist that you saw an East Asian last name drawing the issue. You assumed it was the Adam.
It's Choi. His last name is Choi.
You assumed it was the first fictional Asian person you could think of. That
no,
makes you.
The last name was Choi. I'm used to. Anyways, he can't do perspective.
Well, it's all digitally designed. I don't think he actually draws any of this.
Yeah, this wasn't drawn by any
measures. He just needs an iPad.
The perspective is wrong, and Hal Jordan looks 12.
Well, anyway.
Hal Jordan at least looks 14, all right?
All right.
14.
He looks like Alata from Ghost Sager.
That old man who he saved looks at least 15. That's all I
ask. At least. Maybe 16.
It's like what are they doing? Like, I don't even. And then, like, there was a panel, like, Sinestro, like, you could see part of his face, but, like, it was, like, half it was flat, and it was, like, oh, my face is like melting into the page or something. I don't even know what's happening. I don't know. It was
melting.
Anyway, this entire thing just seems, you know, weird. And I agree with Eric. You know, this entire, you know, Geoff Johns and shortcuts of how he pretty much just sets things up for the following arc, or, you know, for the next six arcs in a single splash page is getting quite tiresome. But to be honest, the worst thing about the issue itself is just the fact he has to set up this one character against Starstorm as a foil for Sinestro to go how much he misses Hal Jordan. And how
can
much
I, can
he,
I just say, like, I hope Starstorm, like, gets his own spinoff series and appears all the time.
He isn't a new character, right? Like, is he an original character created for this story?
I think he is. Anybody
know? To be completely honest, I believe he's a new character. I don't think this man even ever existed at any point in time.
Starstorm.
I think he's a magic card from Magic the Gathering. That's about it. This guy's completely a new character. He was completely created just solely to
look like Nova and Captain Marvel.
He is Richard Rider.
He's actually an interesting experiment in Geoff Johns' writing, because Geoff Johns does this thing where the idea was that he used to be kind of the man that would pull all kinds of continuity strings and tie them into a neat little bow. But he started just kind of like having characters walk into a room and say, like, remember that time we had a baby together? And like, it never happened in continuity, but because he said it retroactively, like, not that it happened retroactively, a character actually says it retroactively. Like, Professor Zoom saying to Iris, isn't it weird how you never age, when Iris was, as a matter of fact, and I keep bringing this up, was, as a matter of fact, 30 years older than she should have been, because she spent decades in the future. So she wouldn't even have been as old as Hal Jordan. She'd have been an old lady. But for Zoom to just show up and say, isn't it weird how you've never aged? It's like, actually, it's weird that I'm super old. Like, it's weird that your eyesight is so bad. But, like, that's a Geoff Johns turn. So now Starstorm is the ultimate that, because just Nestor – and I was so confused. I was reading this, like, is this a weird, random Green Lantern quarterly that I never read or something that Starstorm showed up? And he shows up, and he just retroactively says a bunch of stuff, and the characters – don't even fill in the blanks. They just expository to each other. He's like, remember how you made me feel? I made you feel this way. You made me feel this way. And that was a crazy adventure that we will never discuss. You know,
it's also, a really lame generic name. Just, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Well, remember, it's a story we'll never discuss also because by the end of the story, his one source of power, not only is he proven to be a coward and doesn't man up or is Hal Jordan by any means, his one source of power gets destroyed by the end of the issue. So this one-off character was created solely to be the Hal Jordan foil to Sinestro. He will never be seen again, ever. This character will never come back.
Or maybe the Starstorm Corps will find him and they'll give him a new helmet.
Maybe one day the other Masters of the Universe will go, you know what? We've had a little bit, just about enough of the Guardians of the Universe. These guys are a little bit too much of assholes. Little too much of an asshole. We might need to, you know, the controllers come back. There you go. Miss those guys, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh wait, they're all dead.
Lee strikes again.
And then it turns out Cat Matui never died. She was just in hiding.
Saying something like Cat Matui died. Do we all remember Cat Matui didn't just die? Carol Ferris murdered her. Like, it's like, it's not just that she's dead. She was killed by the girl that, you know,
straight up murdered.
You know, Wes sees the paragon of female identity in comic books.
No,
you know
it's cool.
I mean?
Like, it's cool though. No, they changed that like 5 years ago.
Did she not get murdered by her anymore? Or was it the possession was just so strong it didn't matter?
Yeah, well,
remember
happened.
Remember now. She was possessed by a giant alien space bug. Of course she's forgiven.
Yeah,
what about, same excuse that for Hal.
No, it wasn't a space bug. It was a rape entity. Whatever predator's supposed to be.
It was a rape space bug.
Oh, do we remember also that when she was freed of the predator entity, she disrobed in front of an immobile Hector Hammond just to get revenge on him?
Yeah, this is totally revenge. He's definitely getting shown.
That little bit where she's like, "Yeah, you see this? You're never gonna touch these," and then walks away. Naked.
So she just gave him mental images.
Naked. So she can show all the guards too.
Yeah, that's a bit much. But yeah, it's one of the things Geoff Johns, you know, constantly does, and you know, it's apparently worked for him. You know, it's still slightly working for him now, which is, you know, ridiculous. But
he's the chief creative officer.
He's the chief. He's the CEO. COO of
CCO.
What?
Chief Creative Officer, CCO. Oh,
CCO.
He's a COO of
Jesus, Frankie.
Yeah. I'm never gonna say it right.
He's the COO.
I'm going that way. He's the COO.
He's with Coco?
He's the cacao.
He's not part of Team Coco.
No. That's too. He's not qualified enough to be part of Team Coco.
Yeah, he released a press statement today about like promoting the DC Direct before Watchmen stuff, and it's like Geoff Johns' words. It's like, oh, if I needed one more reason to hate you, motherfucker, like, you know, like, you gotta throw your hat in that ring, you son of a bitch.
Well, anyway, there you have it. There's our reviews on Red Lanterns and Green Lantern. Of course, you know, our
mixed opinion, but we mostly liked it.
Yeah, our standard fair. We mostly liked it, right, guys? We enjoyed Carol Ferris. You know, apparently feeding Hal with a silver spoon. Brandon, of course, liked that, right, Brandon? He's speechless. Speechless. He loves seeing Carol Ferris signing, you know, the lease for, you know, for Hal Jordan's car.
The lease for Hal Jordan's, which he doesn't even use. He just stays at her place.
Yeah, you know, of course he loves how much Hal Jordan doesn't even need to pay rent.
Or buy new ties.
Oh, yeah, he steals the guy's tie. That was the best thing, by the way. When he just steals the guy's tie.
Come on.
He knows fashion when he sees it.
Every single Green Lantern fan out there right now listening to this cast, of course, knows how much Hal Jordan is the man, right?
Wasn't Hal Jordan a tie salesman at one point?
He's a toy salesman and an insurance salesman.
And a ring salesman.
Yeah, he's a failure. He's a failure as a human.
There's a review section of the show. Outside of that, anybody has any last remarks they want to mention for Green Lantern? Justice League Doom is only 3 weeks away. Nathan Fillion starring as the voice of Green Lantern. Stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening. Hopefully you stay tuned for our next cast. And also remember, stay green. Stay green.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/RoyClarkMethod.
This magic green, it is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life?